Hello, and welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Here you can find all of our weekly messages. We trust that God will speak to you today. Enjoy the message.
New Year's Eve at this church was bananas. It was wild, and thank you for all those who stayed up late and encountered the presence of God. It was standing room only. We were finding chairs in the classroom. We were stealing chairs from the school just to be able to seat everyone, and we're just really glad that we saw just a mighty move of God. Over 60 people water baptized, which brings our total in 2023. Get this, we baptized 281 people in the year of our Lord, 2023. So cool. So cool. And I just want to say thank you. I think the best is yet to come. I don't think God's done with us yet. I think that that's a great floor, but not the ceiling. Come on, somebody. And I just believe God for greater things, not only in this church, but in your life. And you decided wisely today by coming to church. And we're going to be in a series called First Things First. And I don't know how your New Year's resolutions are going, but we'll just choose one, and that is to pray more and to pray effectively. And we're going to read a verse out of 2 Chronicles, if you have a copy of God's Word. It will be our starting point. It won't be our ending point today. And this is a pretty popular piece of scripture, and I just think it's really important that we get this down into our hearts as a foundational verse that we could stand on today, and then we can move into some more narrative teaching. If you have it, say amen. All four of you that brought your Bibles. Okay. It'll be on the screen. We're going to read it together out loud, all together. 1, 2, 3. Say this with me. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We're going to try it one more time, all together, out loud, like you mean it. It's the first Sunday of 2024. 1, 2, 3. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, we pray that you would hear our prayers today. Many came in at all of our locations with complicated issues, with relational division, financial provision, in need of your hand. We pray that you would hear us, heal our land, and really, Lord, really come close to us today. We need you, God. We need your presence. We need your power. And we know that we can access that presence and that power through prayer. So today we stand on the word of God, which is true forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There are five components of prayer. And at all of our locations, we went over these last week, but I figured it would be good to maybe reiterate them one more time. If you're taking notes today, you can write this down. If you're not taking notes today, you can write this down. Number one is the priority of prayer. We pray first here. We don't pray last. We don't wait till things start going bad. We pray first. Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. Can I get an amen? Then there's the place of prayer. I think you should have a closet, a war room, a special chair, a special place, in even in your break room, in your office, where you say, this is when I make a turn onto Highway 50 in the morning, when I take my children, I turn up the worship music, and that becomes our place of prayer. It doesn't have to be a religious place. It can be any place, because God does not dwell in temples made by human hands, but he dwells within us. So we have become the temple. Now you create places of prayer. Number three, what we're going to talk about today is the plan of prayer. How many of you know if you plan to fail, you know, you fail to plan. If you don't have a system or a formula, then sometimes you'll get stuck saying, I want to pray, but I don't know what to say. That's where a lot of people end up. They're like, they have good intentions, but they don't know what to say. So today I'm going to help you with the plan of prayer. Then there's the power of prayer. Did anybody grow up Pentecostal like me? We put oil on anything. We don't even care where the oil was from. It might have been oil from the fryer. It just was oil. I grew up when my mom spoke in tongues over our McDonald's as if it was going to make a difference. The power of prayer. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit can change things. You could say to a mountain, be moved, be cast into the sea, and it will have to move. We believe in the power of prayer today. And then the last fifth component are the persons of prayer. We believe in a triune God. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we believe in the priority, the place, the plan, the power, and the persons. And today, I want to talk to you about the plan of prayer. The plan of prayer. How many of you love God's Word? Amen. How many of you know that there are some times in God's Word where you feel like skipping over? In the Old Testament. We'll just say Old Testament. Okay? Let's just be honest. There are some passages where you're like, your Bible reading plan for the year, you know, you're like, this is where I always lose track. Because there are chapters upon chapters of things that might seem irrelevant to you. And it can be very, very hard to sometimes go through some of the chapters found in the Old Testament. Can we just be honest? Okay. There's a chapter in 1 Chronicles where it feels like we're reading an ancestry.com registry. Son of this, 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 son of this. If you depend on your translation, it might be, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. And you, it can be difficult. It kind of looks like the credits of a movie. Does anybody stay for the credit? I mean, who stays for the credits, you know? I remember one time my kids were fighting in the back seat on a road trip. They had been so good. I thought it was a miracle. They had been so good the whole time. And they had been sharing the headphones. You know what I'm talking about? One had the right ear and the other had the left ear. And they were watching the same show. And it was peaceful and it was quiet. It was like a miracle. It was like being a little window of heaven had opened up over our car. And all of a sudden, all of that stopped. And they were like, stop! And I did what every Puerto Rican does. I looked back, didn't even look at the road. And I said, don't make me come back there. And I did what every Puerto Rican does, and I opened up the glove box, and out comes a wooden spoon and a chancla and a belt. I don't know how you grew up. That's how I grew up. All right? There's a power in a flip-flop, man. Something happens to that flip-flop when it's in your mom's hand. Something crazy happens. There's power in that flip-flop. Even if it was from Old Navy, it was a good flip-flop. And I said, what's going on? Don't make me pull this car over. You guys have heard this before. Don't make me pull this car over. Jesus, take the wheel. I got the flip-flop. Yeah. And Ariana's like, Joel keeps skipping the credits on the show that they're watching. He keeps pressing next episode. You know what I'm talking about? We grew up where we didn't have that luxury. We had a tape, okay? There was no next episode button. But Ariana's like, there's probably a hidden scene that we're not able to see because Joel keeps hitting next episode. And sometimes when you read scripture, if you're not careful, you'll rush through credits and you'll miss the hidden scene. All of the Word of God is inspired and good for rebuking and teaching. And in this 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you were just to be skimming it, you would miss the hidden scene. You would be missing the hidden scene. And I want to let you know today, there's one person in all of the son of, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so. There's one person, and his name is Jabez. And you need to hear this prayer. It's two verses. In the middle of a chapter that you would probably skip, it says this, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. His name meant pain. Some of you are like, I'm changing my kid's name right now. Jabez, come over here. What I love about Jabez is he did not allow his name to affect his nature. He did not allow the circumstances of his birth to determine his worth. Oh, I'm preaching now. He did not allow the circumstances of how he came into this earth dictate how he would impact the earth. See, although your name might be Jabez, you can pray bold prayers in 2024. Although your situation might not be good in how you were brought up, it can stop at you. The curse might have got to me, but it stops at me. My name might be Jabez, but I'm praying prayers that are not contingent on the name that I was given. I've been given a new name. I've been given a new nature. The old is gone and the new has. I'm preaching already. I'm only one verse in. What does Jabez do? He never let his name become his limitation. He never let his pain hijack his prayer. Some of you, you only pray based on your pain. The only time God hears from you is when you're in pain. But look how the guy who's named after pain decides to pray in verse 10. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And look at this. And God granted what he asked. My prayer for you today is that God would grant you what you ask, no matter how you were born, that you would be blessed in Jesus' name. Jabez gives us a pattern. He gives us a plan. He gives us a formula. He gives us a system of what to pray every day. I know you came in here today looking for answers. I'm not the answer, but we're talking about the one who is. And he helps us look to his word so that we can learn. Just tell me what to say, preacher. I'll pray. I want to pray. I'm inspired to pray. It's not inspiration that you lack. It's information that you lack. So I'm going to give you the information that we find in this passage in 1 Chronicles. It's broken down into four ways to pray. And the first way is this. You have to pray for blessing. Every day, become a person that prays for blessing. When words leave your mouth early in the morning when you wake up, ask God to bless you. Don't just bring him your pain. Ask him to bless you. Jabez says this. First words out of his mouth, "Oh, that you would bless me." Don't you want to be blessed? Anybody not want to be blessed here? Like, I just don't want to be blessed. I actually would prefer to be not blessed. What's the opposite of blessed? You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that today. Psalm 5:12 says this, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield." Your favor as with a shield. I want the blessing of God to protect me. I want the blessing of God to go before me. I want my family to be blessed. I'm interested in the blessing of God. Now, the original word for blessing in the Old Testament is, hang on for it, prosperity. Now, I know the world don't like that word. What church you go to? You go to Prosperity Gospel Church? Well, what's the opposite? I don't want to be in that church that's not prospering. I want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed in 2024? And so when Jabez says, "Oh, that you would bless me," he's essentially saying, "Oh, that you would allow me to prosper." Right. Now, I'm not talking about blabbing it and grabbing it, like, "Oh, God, a Tesla before lunch today." "Oh, God, that you would bring me my wife." No, you got to get a haircut, get dressed, and walk across the room and say hello, okay? That's not the prosperity gospel I'm talking about. I'm talking about the blessing and favor of God over your life. And here's why I know the word prosperity. I'm not scared of it. Here's why I'm not scared of it. Genesis 26, 12 through 13. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. I declare over your life that you would reap in the same year 100-fold of everything you've sowed. And the Lord, what did he do? Amen. He blessed him." Look at this. Verse 13. If you don't like prosperity preaching, be careful with this next verse. "The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became." I'm just preaching the word. God wants to bless you. Most prayers that go unanswered are because they go unasked. And I want my family to be blessed. I want my children to prosper. I want my church to prosper. I want you to be blessed. You came to a church that believes in the blessing of God. So every day, "God, bless me." Now, your motives for being blessed are the most important thing. That's where we get it wrong. Why is God going to bless you? Why do you want to be blessed? You want to be blessed because in Genesis 12:2 it says this, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. Uh-oh, why? And you will be a what? It's not about your TikTok followers. It's not about me being verified on Instagram, even though I am. I got the blue check mark. Come on, somebody. It's not about that. I am blessed as a distribution of blessing. I'm not called to accumulate stuff. I'm called to channel stuff. Oh, I don't know if you... I'm not called to hoard it. I'm called to distribute it. Wouldn't it be so bad if Amazon just kept collecting all the stuff that you ordered in the warehouse? No, when you go to an Amazon warehouse, guess what happens? There's this long wall of garage doors, and they open up those garage doors, and they back the trucks into those doors. Why? Because Amazon's goal is not to keep the thing you need. Amazon's goal is to give you the thing that you need. My job as a Christian is not to be blessed to close my hand. My job as a Christian is to be blessed so that blessing can flow from my hands. It doesn't stop at me. It goes through me. I am not hoarding the blessing of God. I'm distributing the blessing of God everywhere I can. You cannot give what you are not blessed to give. So if you say, I don't want to be blessed, then you will never be able to be a blessing because you're never blessed. You first must be blessed in order to become a distribution center. People with, I don't know if you grew up with this. I grew up, how can I say this? My parents were missionaries. All of our income came from supporting churches, and it wasn't great. And so there was a lack mindset. It was like a poverty mindset. It was a bare minimum mindset. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that way. And I'm not blaming my parents. That's just the call of God that was on their life. But some of the words I heard and some of the actions I saw did not show me what it meant to be blessed. And I'm not just talking about wealth here. I'm talking about a mindset. I don't want you to have a lack mindset. I want you to have an abundance mindset. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why in the world would I limit God or insult God by asking for the bare minimum when his word says that when he gives back pressed down, shaken together, running over with room for more. We serve the God of overflow. We serve the God of more. Don't come in here and just say, God, just do the bare minimum in my life so that I could just get by. That's not the kind of prayers that we're praying today. We got to believe God for more. I'm believing God for more. Here's the prayer that you pray every single day. If you want to know what to pray, it'll be on the screen. Lord, give me more than I need so that I can be a blessing to the world around me. Lord, give me more than I need so I can be a blessing to the world around me. You got to get a bigger vision for your life. If you are able to calculate everything you want God to do in your life, you got to dream bigger. Am I preaching to anybody today? I want a church that's not limited by lack. I want a church that has an abundance mindset, a blessing mindset, not so that we could accumulate, but so that we can distribute. It's amazing what happens when you get under the blessing of God. Pray for blessing. When you get blessed, here's what's going to happen. You have the second prayer. They stack on top of each other. It's a progressive prayer. I pray for blessing in the morning, and then I pray for influence. Jabez says, enlarge my territory or enlarge my border. How many of you want more influence? How many of you want to make eternal impact in the world today? I don't just want to be blessed, but I want that blessing to be distributed that would increase my influence. I want the influence of God over my life. I need influence so that I could do more than I planned for in 2024. I want God to put you in rooms that you never thought you could be in. I want God to move mountains in your life that are currently blocking the blessing of God over your life. And I want you to learn how to steward the influence that he gives you when you pray this prayer every single day. See, we serve a God who is a God of influence. Now, this is what it says in Ephesians 3:20. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us. What is he going to do? He's going to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I believe 2024 is a year for more. More blessing. And with that blessing is going to come the stewardship of the influence. You're going to have to step up how you influence the world around you. Your reputation is now, as a blessed person, is now, what are you going to do with that influence? And we help people here steward the gift of God that's on their life to lead in areas all around the city. In particular, how it comes to ministry and life group leadership, we have this thing, it's called I Get to Lead. And what we do is two times a year for 4 weeks, we do I Get to Lead. Now, you're going to have to make a sacrifice, and it's application only, but I believe they have a QR code. Now, it's not rude to take out your phone when there's a QR code on the screen. So I want you to take out your phone right now, exit out of TikTok and all the other things. Your fantasy season is over. You done lost your fantasy football season. It's over with. And if you say, I feel called to lead a life group, I feel called to lead a team, I feel called to step in to more than just doing what I'm currently doing, if that's you and you feel called to that, you can apply at igettolead.com. Now, here's why. If you get blessed, what are you going to do with that blessing? You got to influence those around you. What is leadership? Leadership is the stewardship of influence. Okay? And so if you feel called to lead, that starts on the last Monday in January. So it's coming up very, very fast. And it's 4 Mondays in a row. How many of you have gone through I Get to Lead here? Awesome. Some of you have gone through it. I think we graduated 80 people last semester. And so put that QR code right back up on the screen one more time, please. I saw someone trying to scan it one more time if you can, if you don't mind. Thank you so much. Thank you. All the Android people got it. Don't get mad. It's just a joke. They're like, here's the prayer if you want to live a life of influence. Lord, use me so that my life might make an eternal impact in the lives of others. Bless me so that I can be a blessing. Use me so that I can make an impact. Bless me so that I can be a blessing. And use me that my life may make an eternal impact in the lives of others. Now, what happens when you get influence? You know what happens? You get in over your head. When you ask God to put you in rooms that you've never been in before, you start to feel like you're drowning. You know, when you pray for blessing and you pray for influence, he's going to start using you in places you've never been before. So you're going to have to learn how to pray the third prayer when you get into rooms that you don't belong in. How many of you have ever been in a room you're like, man, my resume? If they knew the Photoshop I used to get in here. Let me tell you right now, no one is more surprised than I am that I'm standing before you today across the city with 2,700 people that joined us for Christmas at Focus. No one is more surprised than Mike Santiago. Even my mom was like, really? What happens when you get in over your head of influence? See, I don't know about you, but I have to pray this third prayer when I go to places I've never been, and that is the prayer for God's presence. When you get into places you've never been, you need presence there that goes before you and remains behind you. Because now you're no longer operating out of your own strength. You're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. That's why Jabez says that your hand may be with me. Yeah. I serve on the board of the largest Pentecostal denomination in the world. Me and 10 other people. If you knew who I was, you would have to know that it's God that got me in there. It's fancy. It's a fancy boardroom. And when I walk in there, I'm like, I don't fit. I do not belong here. But it's because I pray for blessing, influence, and then I saturate my life with the presence of God. And when you saturate your life with the presence, it is no longer you that walks in the room. It's the presence you carry that goes before you. That's why I love this church, because we aren't a personality-driven church. We aren't a program-driven church. We are a presence-driven church. And when the presence of God is in the room, that's when everything starts to change. You didn't come here to hear from me. You didn't come here to hear from the band. You didn't come here to meet your campus pastor. You came in here to meet the presence of God. So that everywhere my child goes, may the presence of God go before them. Everywhere I step my foot, may the presence of God go before me. When I walk into the office, may the presence of God be there. When I have conflict with my coworkers, may the presence of God be there. Because if he blessed me, he gave me influence, I cannot sustain it unless I have his presence. It's not me that got into this room. It's the presence of God. He says that your hand may be with me. Your hand. What the hand of God is indicative of the presence of God. The word presence in the original language, the word for spirit or presence is pneuma. Pneuma. And we don't say the breath of God. That's weird. Father, Son, Holy Breath. That would be weird. But in the original language, that's what they're talking about. It's the wind of God. It's directional. It's if you hoist your sail, I'll send some wind to lead you in the right direction. If you don't know what college to go to, surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. If you don't know if you should take that promotion, raise your sail and let the wind of God. Why? That's what you feel. When we sing these songs, those goosebumps, that's the breath of God in the room. That's the wind. You want that in your house. You want that in your marriage. You want that with your children. You want that in your office. You want that in your business. You want that in your vehicle. I want the presence of God in my life. I can't go anywhere unless he goes there first. I gotta be in the presence of God. The presence of God. I pray for blessing. I pray for influence. And I pray for presence. It's not us. You know that, right? If this was my idea, we'd still be in our living room off Water Tree Lane in Apex with 7 people and a cat and an acoustic guitar that was out of tune. But because the presence of God has come into this house, we can now be a light in the dark world. Even Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. I love what he says. He says, not that we are competent in ourselves, my life verse, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Look at this next verse. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, meaning not of the law, but of the pneuma. For the letter kills, but the spirit, what does the spirit do? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because I'm not just waiting on the rapture. Jesus went to heaven and sent us an advocate, a guide, a helper. And the breath of God is active and breathing in this room. So he's going to bless you. He's going to enlarge your territory. And his hand will be upon your life because the wind of God is here. When your kids rebel, the wind of God. When your marriage is on the rocks, the wind of God. When you got tension or anxiety in your own mind, the wind of God. It is the presence of God that you need every day. That he might bless me, that he might give me influence, and that he might send his presence. Here's the prayer for the Lord's presence. The third prayer is, Lord, be with me, because what you've called me to is too big for me. Say that one more time. Lord, be with me, because what you've called me to is too big for me. Now, when you gain influence, all of hell will start to hate your guts. Can I prepare you? Some of you, you get what you pray for. You get what you pray for. And when you ask God to increase your influence and enlarge your territory and to bless you, see, the devil's not concerned with mediocrity. He's not concerned with bare minimum Christians who attend once every 6 weeks, who casually follow God. But when you turn up the heat and when you get blessed, when you gain influence, and when you follow the presence of God, that all of hell starts to hate your guts. I know this because every time I step into a new season, a new dimension, a new level, there's always seems to be a new devil. And what happens is it's not even a new version of the devil. It's the old devil just trying to play the same tricks as he always has. He tries to convince me of lies that are not true and deceive me into thinking that I cannot accomplish what God has accomplished. And the devil is partially right. I can't do it by myself. But thank God I have this fourth prayer. And this fourth prayer is the prayer for protection. I'm not in it on my own. I got the presence of God and the protection of his Holy Ghost. Jabez says this fourth prayer, pray for protection, that you would keep me from harm. Oh, the devil doesn't like that you're here. The devil does not like that your kids have a call of God on their life. The devil does not like it when your marriage is being restored and redeemed into the beauty that it was called to be. I know this because Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And when he looks, he is looking for people who are blessed, influential, and have the presence of God on their life. I don't know about you. I want to be blessed. I want to be influential, and I want to have the presence of God on my life, but I'm going to need protection. I'm going to need protection. There are some places where I don't feel like I need protection. I go places I feel safe. And then there are other places, and I'm like, did I lock the truck? Have you been there before? You look around, you're like, lock it, lock it, lock it. You're like, horn, making sure the horn beeps so that whoever might have been seeing you, you know. You ever been there? You need to know this. And anytime you're blessed, anytime you increase in influence, and anytime you pursue the presence of God, you will need protection, but our God is a protector. He's a protector. Psalm 3, 1 through 3 says this, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him, but you, Lord, you are a shield around me. You are a shield around me, my glory. The one who lifts my head high. How good is God that in every battle you're facing today, you have a protector. In every enemy that you have a protector today. There are things in your life that you know nothing about because God spared you from them. There was a car, it was supposed to hit you, but it didn't hit you because you have protection over your life. In 2024, you will be more protected than ever before. I declare and decree that you remain under the hand of God, under the blessing of God, and under the protection of God. May your children, when they go through the hallways of that school, may they be protected in Jesus' name. I declare protection over every household at every location. I declare protection over every mind, every body, every spirit in Jesus' name, that his hand may be upon you and that he might protect you. If you're going to step into more, you're going to need protection. You're going to need protection. The fourth prayer is, Lord, strengthen me in the battle and rescue me from the battle. Maybe there's a battle that you don't need to be in right now. God's going to rescue you and he's going to protect you in Jesus' name. We pray for blessing, we pray for influence, we pray for presence, and we pray for protection. At all of our locations today, I declare blessing over your life. I declare influence over every realm and every dimension, everywhere you go. I declare the presence of God to go before you and to remain behind you. And I declare protection over any scheme or attack of the enemy. It has to go. It's canceled in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet right now. Let's open up our hands at all of our locations and let's just pray these four prayers right now. Say, God, bless me. Say, God, enlarge my territory. Say, God, send your presence. Say, God, send your protection. Come on, begin to ask God right now for your family. Just begin to pray right now in your own words. Just say, Lord, I pray blessing over my kids, blessing over my family, blessing over my household. If you're with your spouse today, men of the house, just begin to pray that over your family. Begin to pray that over your spouse right now. Begin to declare that over your family. Blessing, influence, presence, protection. Blessing, influence, presence, protection. It's the prayer of Jabez today, but it's becoming the prayer of focus right now. It's blessing, it's influence, it's presence, it's protection. In Jesus' name, over every corner of influence, God, increase our territory as a church. May we plant the campuses at the right places at the right time. May we have the right leaders for our groups and our teams in the right place at the right time. Increase our influence, God. And when we increase our influence, we will be quick to give you the glory. We will be quick to give you the honor. I pray blessing over every child. I pray protection over every kid. Pray that in 2024 we would be people of blessing, people of influence, people of presence, and people of protection. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to close with this. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you would say, I am not walking with God. I am far from Him. At all of our locations, with every head bowed and every eye closed, a real serious moment for some. Many have already made this decision around you, but maybe you've never made the decision to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and today is your day. I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, I want you to raise your hand as a sign of saying, I surrender to God for the first time, and I receive the gift of salvation. If you need the gift of salvation today, at all of our locations, today is your day. Get ready. Don't let the enemy convince you otherwise. If you need the blessing, the influence, the presence, and the protection, it starts by surrendering your life to Christ and surrendering to His will and to His ways. If that's you, you say, I'm far from God. I need salvation. That's me, Pastor Mike. Get ready to raise your hand right now. One, two, three. Just shoot your hand up in the air. I need God. I need to be saved. If that's you, raise it up high. High enough so that we can see it. Someone's going to come bring a card to your hand right now. Come on, raise it up high. This is your moment, South Campus, West Campus, right now, here at the East Campus. Raise your hand right now. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you, Lord. For the sake of those who just raised their hand, we're all, as a church, going to pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, say, Father God, I give my life to you. I surrender and repent. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins so that I can be blessed. So that I can be influential, so that I can carry your presence, and so that I could have your protection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's clap our hands for the word of God today. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now and share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.